tuned in to the Behind the Scenes podcast with your host, Man Robinson, the place where educational, motivational, and inspiration collide with innovation. Be entertained while learning from some of the best actors, directors, and producers in the industry today with self-help tips that you can apply in your career. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I am your host, Man Robinson. Today's show, we have an actor, director, writer, producer, hardworking young man who's in the industry and is very accomplished as an actor. He has a long list of accomplishments and he's well known. You see his face? You know that he has a household face. So we let you know who that is in a minute. Our hot topic today is how to work around the industry and stay busy during crucial times. Unfortunately, right now we're dealing with the coronavirus. We'll touch on that.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
So welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. And I had told you guys I had a special guest. He's a, like I said, I don't want to say this, but he might be a heartthrob or something like that. I don't know. But he has been in all type of films. He writes films. He's in TV series. He's just the hardest working young man. And he's drinking wine, too. That boy is chilling. See, that's how you quarantine right there, brother.
You know, yeah, man, we quarantine and chill.
Quarantine and chill, right? Forget that.
Quarantine and chill. What's happening, brother? Glad to be here.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on to the show, man. Our topic today is the grind, is the film grind, you know, and of course we kind of touch on the quarantine thing, but I've been knowing you for a couple years now, and you know, your presence is always massive whenever you're in a room or you're on a TV show or wherever it may be. I know for a fact that you're a producer. I know for a fact that you're a writer because I read one of your scripts. Well, I was read one of your scripts. For real. The detail in it was amazing. I seen your shows. I mean, even before I got into the film industry, I was watching your movies. So I know that you're all well-rounded young man. But first topic is film industry is two-sided right now. One side, it fell apart. Theaters all closed. Mm-hmm. No productions going on. Mm-hmm. You were about to be on the show. They called you and said, "No, bro, no, don't come. Come, we'll tell you when to come." Right? Mm-hmm. The flip side to that is any movie that's on digital platforms is winning. Mm-hmm. So now, do you think that digital has become where it's at? Does this prove that digital is the new way to go?
You know, what's funny is I was given it 2 more years, you know, until people, you know, the audience really realized the switch had happened. And it was already happening just a lot faster, just because, you know, by watching things in a digital format, you don't lose anything. You don't miss anything. Everything is coming to your handheld device at some point in the future. Yeah. You know, so you knew that that the old ways of doing things were going to eventually move to the side, you know, to the new. But yeah, man, for sure. It's here. I think this coronavirus, the quarantine, the worldwide connectivity of us all has taught the industry a heavy lesson. So they're going to be the big winners.
Now, so since you said that you gave it 2 more years, that to me means that you are already creatively prepared for it, which leads me into this. When it first happened, me and you were working on something else. Okay, which was a live, something live. People had to be in all one room and blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
And we were going to film it and we were going to pitch it to networks, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Not long. I mean, I swear, bro, it was 1 week we were talking about that we shifted over with no, just, I got this, this is what we got. So it had to have been something that you were already thinking and perceived, because I don't know if you want to tell the audience what we're working on or you want to make a wait, but it, we do want to tell them that it's quarantine safe is what it is.
Just like the show. Sure. For sure. You know, one of the greatest men in history, the sensei Bruce Lee, taught us all to be like water. You know what I mean? And we laugh at it all these years later when he says be like water. But man, he was a philosopher before he was anything else. And, you know, being like water for us means if there's something in the way of that water, the water don't just freeze up. You know what I mean? It finds a way around. It goes through. It overpowers. It soaks. It drains. It you know, it's the most perfect description of something that will always find success because it never dies. It never quits. If we think about it, you know, we want to name the oldest things in the world and this, that, and the other. The water has never been in danger, ever. It don't matter if it boils or if it freezes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when we're put in positions, yes, when everything's going swimmingly, we're making such and such a thing happen. And when catastrophe hits, you know, we got to be like water. We just got to move around it. You know, you can't just wait and hope that somebody's going to do something on your behalf. It's like you kind of got to get to work. And there are new needs to be filled. They call necessity the father of invention. So wherever you see needs to be filled, like people who could use something, a way you could, you know, better your environment or your community or your whatever you wish you had, but doesn't exist, that's your space.
And I think you did that double take with this one. It's up to you whether you want to mention it, but as far as what I know of it, not only did you find a way to reach audiences so they don't have to ever touch you, they don't even have to ever touch the tangible product because there's not one, but you also created a new way of a product. Mm-hmm. So you were innovative and you know, and ahead of the wave at the same time.
And
I'm a part. Yeah.
So, for sure. No, we can tell them about it. It's on the way. It's in the works.
Yeah, it's on the way. Hey, I ain't got nothing to say.
So what he's talking about is I decided to move forward on a project I had written in the past, and I wanted to get it done right away. And it really hit me that our society has gotten away from reading. You know, like we don't read anything anymore. We're entertained in a different way. And in these times where people are quarantined, they're around family members. You're around the people that you love and you care about, and you want to experience things together. Well, largely most of us, you know, we have our own worlds that we carry around in our hands. You know, like it has everything that we're kind of already interested in and into. But one thing that connects us all is sound. You know, if there's a party going on, if there's music going on, it overtakes the room. So I wanted to get back into this medium of where we were listening to our entertainment, you know. And so, you know, just like the historic radio broadcasts of things like War of the Worlds and live sporting events, I want to bring us together with something called audio movies. And it's largely you hearing the way a movie would sound, and also being given the narration to explain what you can't see. You know, it's a mirroring between a book and a movie. You get the best of both worlds, whether you're walking alone or hanging with the family at night, whether you're working out, whether you're meditating. You know, it's just something that can reach deep into us and kind of give us that imagination. You know, if I describe in my story the most beautiful woman in the world, you're going to get a picture of a woman in your head, and I'm going to get a picture of a woman in my head, and they're going to be two different women, but we can listen to the same story at the same time. It allows our imaginations to grow further. And that was a thing that we could do from home during quarantine, staying safe.
And that is a shift. So what happened with everything falling apart, you know, everybody being safe and being away from each other, I believe that it shifted a lot of different industries. I was just on the phone with one of my marketing managers, and he actually is also reps somebody else at Enterprise, car rental, simple place. Do you know today is what we pre-recording this. So this is April 2nd. Do you know today that their company is at a $500 million loss.
Wow.
He said in 30 days, they will be at over $1 billion loss. Every industry is hit, so there's a shift. I don't know how other industries are going to be able to do this type of thing that the entertainment industry can do and find ways. What do you suggest, though? What do you suggest for people like actors that just starting out, or let's say somebody like yourself, you were on this show and you just got on the show and you're about to shoot these episodes and it stops. Mm-hmm. But you're able to be innovative and not just sit at home and watch Netflix all day. What do you suggest for people who might have been on a show like that, or maybe they're the grip, maybe they're the DP of the show, and it all stops? What do they do?
You know, it's an interesting thing is that if you are behind on payments, when I started in this business, I spent a nice chunk of time not being able to live the way that I wanted to live. So, you know, isn't it interesting when you go from being on that end of it, you know, to where if you miss a few payments, companies are calling you, people are sending you letters and mail. However, on the flip side, if they lose our business for weeks, these companies that send people letters are begging the government for millions to billions of dollars. It's like, how ironic is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That guys who told us to prepare, you don't have enough to take care of yourself for a few weeks, you know, a few months, you know. So I think the thing that we need to keep in mind is that to a certain extent, we could all use some bailouts. But when people realize where they come from, that we're the ones who put the money in the first place, they'll feel a little bit differently about where it goes or how it gets used. For performers that are in this situation, I'm sorry, I know you guys are live, but there's real life going on here too. One second.
Hey.
And now it's time for Man Robinson's motivational thought. Black movie star, motivational and inspirational. Black movie star.
Coming back, remember, we are only and truly inspired by the inspirational. And my black movie star of today is Eddie Murphy. It's not just because he's the funniest guy on the planet. It's not just because he was Charlie Murphy's brother. It's not because he was in Trading Places, which was I watched that movie more than any movie I ever watched in my life. It wasn't because he did Delivery and saw all the rest of the stand-ups. It's because he did all of them. And he has stayed relevant his entire career. I think it's like 30 years. And on top of that, he can work when he want to work. If he want to get relevant, he can get relevant. He just did the movie Dolomite. And, you know, if you watch the movie, then you understand why I'm at a loss of words right now. It was a great film. I can't wait to see what Eddie Murphy has in store. And he is our black movie star.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
He is. Look at him. See, he looked just, that's the same reaction you get when you see him on TV. You say, that boy right there, that's a leading man there. That's a leading man right there, boy.
So can you hear me? Am I in good now?
Yeah, you are all good, bro.
So for those who don't know, my girlfriend was in the background. She's getting ready to do her live cooking show. So Keisha Knight Pulliam, a lot of you guys know her as like Rudy from The Cosby Show. And but she's a really excellent cook with her own line of spices called Keisha's Kitchen. So she's about to start her live cooking broadcast, which she does a couple of times a week now. We're not shooting shows and on tour. It's like, okay, all right, so let me remind people of why I have these spices that taste so good. I actually know what I'm doing in the kitchen. So she's been having a lot of fun with that, which means I'm going to be eating good.
Yeah, you're going to be eating good, man. I can tell already. Does she have that? Was it already live before all this happened? Was it also pre
It was already done. You know, that's the thing. You can't get a summer body in the summertime. You got to get it in the winter. You got to get it in the fall and the spring. Like, you know, you don't wait until the catastrophe happens because you last up, you know? So, you know, always be linear, lateral, always have multiple streams. You know, the things that we had to learn, because a lot of us weren't necessarily taught that, but in the age of information, where everything you want is one Google question away, there's no excuse for us not to have the knowledge anymore. So please, you guys get out there. You have great ideas. Keep your feet moving. You know, I know your question before we had to take a little break was about, you know, people in our industry that are getting hit hard. And I think you were giving some good words and advice, you know, on continuing to be enterprising. And, you know, the examples are, you know, kind of, you know, what you and I are working on. But, you know, the flip side of that is I didn't wait until we had been quarantined for a month to say, man, maybe I should get with somebody and figure out what to do. Like when it started going left, it was like,
it was the next day. It was like, hey, bro, I got this. Let's go. I was like, okay, let's go.
Right.
It's a great idea. So I have a question,
We're so early in this, and I'm just going to jump back onto this audio movie process really quickly. You know, before I get away off that story, if you're into seeing where Keisha is doing her cooking, just go to her IG page, Keisha and I Pulliam, or go to keishaskitchen.com. And go ahead and order those spices. But you know, the next thing is that, like, being ready for environments and you know, moving forward with this audio movie, I've had really good conversations. We're so early in this process that while we have some of the movie done, we're still casting some of the parts. And I was talking last night to one of the actors who had just read the script, and it was so much less I had to tell him about his character, simply because he'd ingested the material and I could tell he lived in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, he lived in the space that was created. So I'm really looking forward to when people see the audio movie Protector, or when they hear the audio movie Protector, that, you know, they get to visualize the world in their own way.
And it's a hell of a world too. And it's, you know, so people get this right. It's Protect Her. Not protect her. So it is, you know, you'll hear it later, but that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. So, Brad, I have a question. I have two questions. Mm-hmm. Let me see which one I go with first. Let's go with the light skin. Let's go with the light skin question first. So earlier in your career, when you first started out, okay, you were destined to be, of course, an actor. Right. So how did you find your place? And the light skin thing is a joke because I ain't too far off. You know? But how did you find your way? And then what if somebody else wanted to be an actor? Because we have a lot of people there, filmmakers and people who want to be in the industry listening. So they want to be an actor. They see somebody like you on TV. They might have, you know, let's face it. Some people are use their looks. Some people don't, you know, whatever. But they have something that they might think is the gift and they go on with that. How did you, what do you suggest? Like, what is your advice? For that?
Well, I mean, me personally, I just started doing what I wanted to see. That's how I started in the industry. I was like, you know, the kind of stuff that I want to create, that's the stuff that I want to do. So that was the very first stuff I wrote about. So in fact, we're going to have one that we end up doing. You know, I just got to tell you about this later, but we're going to have one of these audio series that we're going to end up doing. That's based on my very first concept. But, you know, I had a really strong love for intense stories where action was, you know, the result of something that was really necessary. You know, it's like your movie is going to be classified as whatever the primary needs were. So a love story, you know, a love story might have some comedy, but if the primary need is love, if it's like you're yearning for the love, then, you know, the jokes aren't what takes over the movie. But anyway, but yeah. No, we could just go on.
Well, no, I mean, that's a great point. So I'm the same way. When I first started out, I wanted to be and I was doing what I wanted to be. And then, and that was it. But let's say a role comes about and it's totally opposite. What do you do then? How do you get inside of that? Is that method? It's not method acting. What is that? Can you,
know what? It's funny because I mean, it depends on the kind of project that it has to be, what kind of acting I particularly choose to do. You know, the way you perform in a sitcom is not how you perform in a biopic, is how you perform in a, romantic comedy. You know, they're all very different. You know, the tempo, I mean, and even further removed from stage. And then even within theater, it's like, you know, which audiences are we playing to? So it's always knowing your audience and realizing everybody's not going to be a fan of this, but you have to perform for the super fans of this genre. You know, if I'm doing a film that has a lot of fighting or has martial arts, the average person watching it isn't going to know if I'm, if I have the correct bone alignment in a kick, you know what I mean? But, and but I don't half ass it simply because most of the audience won't know. I have to play to the super fans of that genre because they're going to be who gives the validation. You know, it's like, if you know, if I hit a kick, like I want to stick that kick. If I'm shooting a gun, I don't want to shoot it like someone who's never shot a gun before. So because there's going to be a strong audience, you know, me being a former Marine and working in anti-terrorism, I know rules of engagement. You know, I know what sight alignment, sight picture is. And I know you don't, you know, squeeze your eyes closed when you're pulling the trigger. And so those who know it, like there were certain shows and movies, like I couldn't even watch because I'm like the person, this super person shooting the gun doesn't even know how to hold a gun. And so if you don't play to your strictest critics, you're not going to give your best performance, you know?
Well, you mentioned Bruce Lee a few minutes ago and you just brought up martial arts. I actually seen a movie when you, you know, flipped off the ground and you did some of the stuff I've seen. I see Bruce Lee do the type of things. Was he an influence on not the acting part? Cause he was good at both. If he was a great actor. And I found out that he was a director as well, but he was a master martial arts. So were you influenced by his martial arts?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Love Bruce Lee growing up, man. I was, and you know, we're from a little bit different generation, man. So it's like, you know, I remember as a kid going with mom to Blockbuster. And buying up all the Bruce Lee movies. Like anytime I wanted to see a Bruce Lee movie, like we had to go to Blockbuster and rent it. And, you know, she'd get whatever, you know, Dirty Dancing or whatever and some pizza. And I'm, and I'm getting the Bruce Lee movie. And to the point where I watched them all and started getting movies. Like, oh, this is one with Bruce Lee that I missed. And it was like Bruce Lee.
And it I found out that story. I found out the Bruce Lee story.
Oh my God. I hated Bruce Lee. I hated Bruce Lee. Yeah. Because I was like, fuck. Yeah. I'm seven. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a good job with it.
You know, Bruce Lee was a big Bruce Lee was a huge influence. Jean-Claude was really huge. Jet Li, I followed Jet Li since he was like a teenager doing movies many moons ago. Before, you know, the US audiences were introduced to him. I feel like it was through like Lethal Weapon and stuff that they finally found out about Jet Li. But yeah, those were huge influences. And you know, a friend of mine now, Michael Jai White.
I like him.
Super huge. Like him. Yeah, man. Super huge influence.
Yeah. He actually is a very dope artist. I did not like Steven Seagal. I liked him, but I didn't like the fact that it was unrealistic. He never got hit. So
you know what, you know. Steven Seagal is someone who, and this is, you know, I can only tell you what I've heard over the years, but he's someone who's got a really good understanding of Aikido, and he's a really big, imposing guy. But it's like anything that you feel like you don't like about him on screen, like in movies or whatever, it's probably because he's like that in real life. So like as a real life, it's like, yeah, I like you as long as you're reading the script. Like, don't start ad-libbing. Like, you know, because he's kind of not the kind of person that you want to be around. You know what I mean?
And, yeah, it shows.
It's pretty definitely unfortunate. Shows. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the lack of longevity in his career for somebody who just, you know, came on board at a good time and was making really good movies. I was a big fan of, you know, Hard to Kill, Out for Justice, yeah. Marked for Death. It was like if it had Steven Seagal and three names in the title, it was like that was it. It was gold. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, but he just, I mean, I like those two. And honestly, I give credit to every last one of them to be able to be an actor and do physical
activity. Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan is the best. Yeah, he's the best. He's definitely doing his own stunts and all that as well. But that's what this show is about. It's about not just saying, okay, I want to be an actor and how do I find an agent and all that. It's more to it. It's more grind. Mm-hmm. It's more studying. Are you a studier? Do you still study film and actors?
Yeah. I'm always studying. Always studying. I'm looking. I might have to stop and rewind scenes 3 and 4 times because I'm just, you know, really amazed at some of the things that my colleagues are able to do. You know, I really marvel at people and why we make the choices that we make. You know, and as an artist, you're always going to be influenced. You know, we're not robots. We're not going to do it the same way every time to exact perfection. We're going to be influenced. We're going to like some things more than others. You know, what I've kind of learned to do in recent times is accept people where they are in their craft. You know, it's really like this whole thing is a journey. It's not about how perfectly you get the drawing. It's about, man, how'd you get there? You know, what was that journey like?
And that's exactly it. And that's what we want the audience to know. It's not... Man Robinson didn't come out of nowhere. I didn't just pop onto the scene. Brad James didn't just pop out of here. There was a role. There's a lot of things that we had to do you know, we're going to tell it all later, but there's a lot to it. So I just want the fans and anybody in the film industry to learn from you, to learn from me and any other guests that may come on the show.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it. We be about it.
The sequel's here. That's your new name. You're the sequel. That's Brad James, the sequel.
Just come back and see the sequel, too. That's all.
So, question is, how is it dating, being in love with a fellow actress? And not only is she a fellow actress, I happen to know that she's a brainchild just like you are. Mm-hmm. And ideas and creativity and all that, not just an actor. And she started off before most of us could spell. So
for sure.
How is it dating someone in that caliber?
Well, I'll tell you honestly, okay. You ever hear the old slogan, don't catch the pearls before swine?
Yeah, I think my old grandfather said stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Basically, no matter how good something is, if you put it in front of somebody who won't or can't appreciate it, it's just like casting pearls before swine. They're just looking for something to eat. You know, they'd rather have slime. So in the case of, you know, spending my time and being with someone like her in particular, it's really great because you can bounce ideas. And the answers to those will be well thought out. They'll make sense. It's like, oh, man, it's like, you know, being with someone who really appreciates, understands, and can do something with the information that's in your head, the things that you care about and you're passionate about, make a huge difference. It really does. And I hope I do the same. I hope I do the same for her. But for sure, you know, having someone who you can bounce ideas off and get positive reinforcement makes a really huge difference. You know, you hear so much complaining about, you know, people who've been paired with people in life who didn't back them or get their visions or their goals or their dreams. So that's a huge hurdle for people, man. And you don't typically realize that until it's too late, you know? And so being able to find you're on the same accord with, it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about the dumb shit. Okay, cool. Yeah. It's a good starting place.
No, it is. And people have to deal with the opposite all the time. It's 90% or more. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. And then why don't you just get a regular job? All that. So I admire that. I seen you two together multiple times. I seen the interaction. And I know it's there. So So what's up next for you, man? What else you got going on? We know about the audio. I got to say it right because he'll get mad. Audio movie.
Audio movie and the audio series that are going to be coming.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So we got the audio series, audio movie coming. What else we got from Brad James?
Let's see, April 15th, we have a Netflix series that I'm guest starring in called Outer Banks, which is going to be fucking dope, you know. It's got a great cast. It's young people. It's summertime. It's outdoors. It's, you know, everything that we probably need right now. And then a hell of a lot of adventure to go with it. So it's that situation. I have a second season of A House Divided that's going to be dropping this summer. We don't have a date yet. But it's going to be on UMC, the same network that has our film, His, Hers, and the Truth, on it live right now on UMC.
Great film, by the way. Great acting job you did on that, too, by the way. Very funny guy. People don't know that. They've seen him kicking ass in movies, but he actually is very funny. So go see His, Hers, and the Truth. Okay? I'm sorry,
sir. Yeah, no, all good. All good. Between that, there's a couple other things in the works. We're going to see which direction that we go in on them. But definitely when, you know, all productions pick back up, I'll be back working on my series for a really great network. And I'll keep you guys posted on that once everything is in the clear.
Okay. Well, you heard it all from Brad James. We're going to get his social media in a second. But first, Brad, we do what we call a random thought. It comes from me. It's debatable if you like. We got to go on break first. So right now we're going to our.
And now it's time for Man Robinson's random thought of the day.
Why, Brad, you can comment on this. I was just thinking one day I was walking. Why is a urban film, which pertains more black actors than the other, with a murders in it, gun shooting and killings in it, why is that perceived a hood film? Or you watch a film like Ozark, which is great, has my best favorite actor in it, Jason Bateman, that has more killing than that times 10, but it's considered a masterpiece. Why is that? That's my random thought. You don't have to debate it. That's just a crazy thought in my head.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the simple answer is perception. Perception and perspective. Perception and perspective. You know? What mental position, what spiritual position are you viewing that from? And why? Perception and perspective.
But if you were to put different actors into Ozark and have it urban driven, music-wise. All I gotta do is put rap music. Let's just say it. Put rap music in it. It's considered a hood film. It's got more killing than this one. I'm not mad at it, because I say it too. My whole thing is I'm a film director from the hood, not a hood film director. So I'm on it too.
Let me ask you something, though. Will Packer did a movie. I'm sorry, Rainforest Films, I think, did a movie years ago with Idris Elba and some other actors. Were they bank robbers? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Chris Brown was in it? Was Chris Brown in it?
I believe so.
Takers? Was it Takers?
Takers,
yeah.
Did you perceive Takers as a hood film?
Almost.
But not really, right?
Not really, almost. Because of the setting.
The setting, the subject matter, maybe. You know what I mean?
They didn't do a lot of killing.
Takers.
They did a little bit of killing, but.
Right, Takers. But it didn't feel hood.
No.
You know what I mean? Close. It didn't feel hood. So maybe, you know, maybe it has to do with our perception of life in neighborhoods, you know, especially black neighborhoods, that, you know, that's kind of what happens, because there is an expectation for street level drug dealers and, you know, a lot of the same kind of music, a lot of running from the cops, a lot of dirty cops, situations, you know, like there are recurring scenarios, you know, that happen within that setting. So, you know, while there's stories that are very real and deserve merit and to be told, you know, I think you're asking maybe a twofold question. It's like, what level of those kinds of films can be determined as masterpieces? And my argument to that would be, there's been so many really good, really powerful films about the hood that in order to do that for you as well, you got to tell a different kind of story, even within the hood. Like, the hood can be the backdrop, but it can't be the backdrop and the foredrop. It can't all be about hood life. It's got to be about somebody's life within that struggle. I feel like that's why Baby Boy did so good. Like, Baby Boy was, you know, the hood was the backdrop, but we were really into Jody's story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Mom, you know, Mom and Ving Rhames had a, you know, AJ Johnson and Ving Rhames had a story. You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of little stories being told at the same time. That feels like a masterpiece.
That's definitely, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a masterpiece. I think every hood film that came out all the way up until maybe early 2000s was considered
South Central. You know what I mean? Yeah. The little forgotten about ones that were in there. Those shaped us growing up though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a sense. We all saw those movies. Mr. Society. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But best Boys performance ever. Lorenz Tate, best performance ever in any movie to me. He killed that.
Even Dead Presidents.
Yeah,
Dead Presidents. He murdered it in Dead Presidents. Lorenz Tate, man. Lorenz Tate is probably one of the most underrated actors from my generation. I know he's getting love now from being on Power, but Before all that. You know what I mean?
That dude is fucking amazing. Yeah, that menace.
Really amazing.
And he came back with the, like you said, the Dead Presidents. And I mean, yeah, he's great. To see him back and still, he still looked the same age.
Right. I mean, he walked off of Dead Presidents and jumped into a fucking time warp or a freezing pod and just got thawed out to do goddamn Power.
Yeah.
It's really good to see us doing well, man. You know,
yeah, we are.
I love our people. I love our people. Always have, always will, man. And we really got to support each other. You know, we're really amazing, dude.
We are amazing. And we actually, hence that fact from blackfilm.com, who actually is partnered with us on this podcast. We support black film, black actors, black writers, black directors, and black film. You got it. Brad James, man, thank you very much. I cannot wait to work with you. And whether you know it or not, or maybe you do know it, you are starring in my next film. I already got everything set up for you. We'll get to that later. All right.
And my God.
Can you tell the audience where to find you, bro? Please tell them where to find you.
Yo, I'm on everything at Mr. Brad James, MR Brad James.
All right. There you have it, audience. Thanks again, Brad James. And we are out.
Later.
Have a good one. Stay safe in your quarantine, brother.
Thanks for tuning in to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. Our aim is to genuinely encourage and inspire you with the compelling stories and content we provide in hopes that you'll inspire others. For info on upcoming episodes and all things surrounding film, techniques, and motivation, follow at Man Robinson on all social platforms. View on blackfilm.com, manrobinson.org, or stream anytime on Spotify and iTunes.